And I'm here to say today the Lord's not finished with me yet. And I don't think he's finished with any of us. But I have a feeling that most of us do not have a clue as to our condition before the Lord. I've been talking about hearing from God. I've been talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, and then I talked about the fact the kingdom of God is in us. That's where the kingdom of God is today. In the future, there'll be a physical kingdom of God, which we will be in. It'll be spiritual and physical. When I first became a Christian, I thought I would have it really together if I learned how to lead somebody to Christ. So I learned how to lead somebody to Christ. And then I found out that there was something called the deeper Christian life. So I sought that and got to that place. And then I heard somebody say that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I began to understand that word, and that was good. And then I heard about the charismatic movement and the Spirit of God coming and baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. And I sought that out, and I thought, well, I've arrived. Then I heard about spiritual gifts, and I heard about all those things, and I sought those things and what God wanted to give me. And I received some of those things, and I thought I had come to a place where I was ready. But I'm finding out something that I don't think in this life you ever totally achieve and get ready for the promised land until the very end. The nation of Israel, God took them out of Egypt, and he said, I'm going to take you into a promised land. I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to take you into this place. But they didn't see that there was a desert in between. And that desert was the training ground, the preparing ground, because they weren't ready for the promised land. Some of them very arrogantly said, you know, to God, we're ready, let's go. And God said very simply to them, you're not ready, and I'm going to show you. And I think there's a lot of Christians that think when they get saved, they're ready to go to heaven. And I think when you study the Bible and you get a very clear message that when you get saved, it's just the beginning and you're not ready yet. There's a whole lot of things God wants to work in our life in this desert of this life. And this life is a desert compared to heaven. And it doesn't take just a couple of weeks, and it doesn't take a couple of years. It takes an entire lifetime to get ready to fit into what God has for us. And the reason for that is we had several years where we were in darkness. And we sinned. We were sinners, and we were born that way. We were born into darkness, not into the light of God. And we had to come to the place where we found the light of God and where we became born again, as the Bible said, and we received Christ as our Savior. And there's a lot of Christians that think that's the end. Now we just wait till we go to heaven and everything's going to be all right. But we find out when we study the Word of God that that's not true. And I think that very few of us even yet have a clue as to what God has to do in us to prepare us to fit into the kingdom of God that we've been talking about all these weeks and months. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. God only talks to you about things you can understand at the time. So he has to bring you to a certain place so you can understand certain things. And God will give you that truth so you can work that truth out in your life and so he can work that out into your life because he's preparing us for this kingdom. And so the Lord wants us to know what's in our hearts after salvation. Then he begins a process of showing us what's really in our heart. And you have to understand that your mind, your will, your emotions were all programmed in darkness from the time you were born till the time you were saved. Now, We all committed sin before we were saved, and Jesus Christ came on the cross and paid the eternal price for that sin. But it didn't necessarily get all of that darkness out of our souls. There is such a thing as sinless perfection, and I don't think anybody reaches it in this life, in our soul, but the moment you're saved, you're sinless than in your spirit. But God has to then begin a process, and that's what it is, to cleanse us, cleanse our soul, cleanse our mind, will, and emotions, which were programmed in darkness and have to be reprogrammed after we get saved. Now, it talks about that in the Bible very clearly. Some people don't understand this process, and so they don't understand why they go through various trials and tribulations in life, but these things are allowed by God to treat us and train us and cleanse us and prepare us for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus Christ died not only that we would have eternal life, but that we would be prepared for this kingdom that he has coming. But nobody, even a young person that is born, and they said, that's going to be the next king. That king's not ready until he has been trained and prepared to be king. And so that's our status. When we're born again, we are to be rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, but we're not ready yet. And so begins a process of God to prepare us to get ready. Now, I was watching something on TV the other day, and there was a personal trainer on there. And this guy trained the athletes that play basketball for the Denver Nuggets. And I understand they're doing fairly well. I don't keep track of it, but that's what I heard. Well, he told on this program, he showed some of the exercises and what he did to get them in shape. So the point was, these are going to be basketball players, but they weren't ready yet. And so they had to train. They had to strengthen their bodies. They had to strengthen their muscles. They had to strengthen their abilities to jump. And he said, before they ever really start the season, he said, I spend 3 hours a day with them, training them to get their body ready to play. So these players not only spent 3 hours a day preparing their body, then they practiced what they were going to do when they got on the court. So there were several hours of practice, days and weeks before the season ever started. And that's the way it is with God. We have to understand we have to get in shape. We have to prepare. We have to get ready for this kingdom. We're just not going to, God's going to take us and throw us into the kingdom. We're going to rule and reign with him. That's not the way it is. We find out that there's certain things we have to do, and then there's certain things that God does. We need to read our Bibles. We need to study our Bibles. We need to listen to CDs. We need to about the Bible. We need to read books about the Bible. We need to learn in church, and we need to prepare for the kingdom of God where we're going to rule and reign. And if we don't spend, I'm going to say, a minimum of 32 minutes to an hour a day in doing these things, we're not going to be ready. It takes hours. It takes weeks of study. It takes listening to the Word of God. You have to constantly take that into your life and begin to wash out the darkness that we learned before we were saved. I said God paid for it, but it has to be washed out. It has to be cleaned out of our life, and then he has to refill us with the things of God and the works for the kingdom of God, and that's a process of time. And I can tell you right now, you can't do it just on Sunday morning. It's an impossibility. I couldn't teach the Word of God and give you the Word of God that comes from God if I didn't listen constantly to things and read constantly and study constantly to get ready for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to give you the word from God and to give you God's plan for now and eternity. Now, there's a lot of people who don't understand this, but we need to understand it. You know, some people say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And what they try to do is they try to do good works to make up for the bad works they did before. Now you say, that's stupid. Christians do the same thing. Instead of studying and training and preparing and taking in the Word of God and allowing God to cleanse us, we try to make up for the bad we've done by doing good now, and the good only comes from our relationship with Christ, and it's not going to make up for the bad. The only thing that take care of the bad is the cross of Jesus Christ, you see. And so we have to quit this stuff of trying in our own way and our own energy and our own strength to do good now because we messed up before. And that has nothing to do with preparing for the kingdom of God. You know, the problem, the problem is that many times we still have anger. It's in us. It's in us. We have arrogance. We have pride. We have all of these things, and the cross of Jesus paid for that, but didn't take it out of us necessarily. That has to be done through a process of God, and we have to cooperate with Him. So we ought to be in training for the main event. We're actually in the desert in this life, and God is preparing us, and He takes us through various things to get us to that point where we're going to be ready to rule and reign with us. God wants us to let Him to take Him into the secret places of our life that we don't want anybody to see and anybody to know about because everybody has them. And instead of, as I said, instead of letting God come in and clean those places up, we try to do good to overshadow that bad, and it doesn't work in the ways of God. God's getting us ready to fit into that eternal plan that He has. And so I would pray that you don't go to heaven soon, because everybody's always saying, oh, I just wish God would take me out of this mess. Well, when you get there, you're going to find out that wasn't a good idea, because you didn't prepare properly for what He has for you. There were about thousands of people, actually millions of people that died in the desert, that when they are standing before God, they're going to find out they weren't suitable for the kingdom of God. They're going to be in there. They're going to be subjects. They're going to be watching the game, but they're not going to be playing it because they didn't prepare. And I'll tell you, there isn't any professional basketball team that's going to win if they don't spend hours in training and hours getting ready and hours in practice before they ever play the game. And so the Christian life is not any different. We get some idea it is, but it's not. So the only way we can be of any use to God in the kingdom of God is to let Him prepare us now for those things. Let's look at some scriptures today. God was constantly talking to the disciples and constantly trying to get them ready and constantly trying to work these things out. And I want to show you where it says this in the Bible. We've read this time after time, but I don't think a lot of times we understand what it was saying, and that's Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I don't think we put that in the proper place that it was supposed to be. If you go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, because I want to show you this, we've read this a million times, but this time we need to start getting this close to our own life. Now it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and you have to understand, Paul went through this process after he got saved. He realized he wasn't anyways near what God wanted him to be. He said, what I want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do, I do, and I don't have the power to not do what I don't want to do. And he goes through all that stuff, and he comes to the place, he said, there's only one way, and that's through Christ. To get this stuff out of me so that I am ready. And this is after he got saved. I find that most people don't really realize what their sin is about until after they get saved. And then there comes a time somewhere along the line when God begins to show you just a little bit, and it's hard to take just a little bit of what it is, that he can start working on that. Some Christians just give up. They say, I can't do the Christian life. Well, that's not so. If you allow God to work. Here's what it says in Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that means Christians, by the mercies of God, because God is merciful, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we have to start presenting our bodies and showing, giving them to God for his purpose. And verse 2, here it is, be not conformed to this world. You did that before you were saved. You programmed your computer in darkness before you got saved. And just because you got saved doesn't mean the darkness is out of the computer. Only in your spirit. The software is your soul. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed, metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your what? Your mind has to be renewed. And you think you're just going to stand there and say, okay, mind, be renewed. How long do you think you'd stand there before it got renewed? It's not going to happen. You got to get in the Word of God. I don't care if you can't read, listen to it on tape, get it someplace. This has to be done. I heard a Bible teacher say one time, if he didn't study the Word of God 4 hours every day, he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. And I can tell you with Christians, I really believe you don't spend an hour a day in the Bible, an hour a day praying, all of the combination of the two, I don't think you're going to be fit for the kingdom of God. I'll just tell you the truth. If you're too busy, we get filled up with busyness. You wonder why some people don't change. Because their mind doesn't change. They don't renew themselves with the Word of God, and they're not a whole lot different than they were before they were saved. They just got a different destination when they die. Aren't you glad you came today? I'm preaching to myself. Psalm 81 and verse 1. I tell you, I just know I'm standing right in the center of what God wants me to do right now. I can't say that all the time, but I can say it today. So I hope you're listening. However long it takes, I want to get this message out. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither, and a timbrel, and a harp, and a psaltery, and blow the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed. For this was the statute of Israel, and the law of God of Jacob, and he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I understood not, and I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the basket. In other words, God saved these folks. They were in slavery. That's what he's talking about here. You called me in trouble, and I delivered you, and I answered you in the secret place of the thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. He showed them their sin. He showed them when they came, they needed water. There were 2 or 3 million people out in the desert, no water. Don't you know that's a problem? And they said, basically, God, you brought us out here. Now, we come out here to die. God, why don't you just send us back to Egypt where we came from? It was better before I was saved. And they're complaining and murmuring and carrying on. And God, why'd you do this to me? And why have I gone through this stuff in this life? And why have I been rejected? And why didn't my parents love me? And all this kind of stuff. Let's go on. I'm not making fun of anybody. You called me in trouble, and I delivered you, and I answered you in a secret place of thunder. I tested you at the water of Meribah. Hear, O my people, I will testify unto you, O Israel, if you will hearken unto me, if you'll listen to me, God said. There shall be no foreign gods in you, neither shall you worship any foreign god. The reason he said that, because they were worshiping foreign gods in Egypt before they got saved. And God said, yet you don't want to do that now because it's not suitable for the kingdom of God. So he had to show them their sin so he could help them cleanse of their sin so they could get prepared for heaven, prepared for the kingdom. And that's what he's talking about here. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. But you got to open your mouth. You got to open your mind. You got to get in the word of God. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would have none of me. This is after he got them out of Egypt. So I gave them up unto their own heart's desire, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would have hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies. I would have taken care of their enemies. I would have turned my hand against the adversaries. The haters of the Lord would have submitted themselves unto him. I would have fed them with the finest wheat and with honey out of the rock. And they wouldn't follow me. They died in unbelief. They knew God could save them, but he didn't think he could keep them in this life. They didn't think they could change in this life. They didn't trust God to prepare them to fit into what he had in heaven, not just go there. Fit in when you get there. So we have to let God see the dark places. We're saved, and evidently sometimes we lose it, and we cuss somebody out over the phone or something. And God didn't stop you from doing that. He wanted to show you what needed to be cleaned up. My wife said one time, "You were a lot more fun before you got saved." Because I'll tell you what happened. After I got saved, I still did a lot of things that I did before I was saved. But I knew I was going to heaven, but it would drive me crazy, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I would get angry, and I'd do all kinds of things that I did before, and I knew I shouldn't be doing it. So I tried harder to be better, and it doesn't work. You have to confess that sin to God and say, God, clean me up. Clean me up, Jesus. I surrender to you. I don't care what it costs. I surrender to you. I don't care if I lose everything but gain you. You'd be a whole lot better off losing everything and gaining Jesus and his kingdom. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the Christian life here. Salvation is just the beginning. Just like we said at the beginning of the year, Christmas is just the beginning. Do you ever say to God, "Why I'm saved, why are all these things happening to me?" You ever say that? Let's be honest. How many ever said that? "I'm saved, Lord. Why is all this stuff happening to me?" Well, I'm here to tell you there's a reason. I didn't say God did it. I'd say he allows things to show us. We haven't got a clue as to what's inside of us. We overlook all this stuff. Other people don't, but we do. We don't know how much envy we had, how lazy we are, how much pride is in us, how much arrogance. What we usually do is criticize other Christians that aren't doing what we think they ought to be doing. And it's usually something we're doing ourselves. And so we decide, well, this thing isn't working. I'm going to back off because people know I'm not acting like I should. So we need to get rid of the idea we understand ourselves, because we do not. The most arrogant thing you can say is, "I know myself," because I'm here to tell you, you don't know yourself. That's what the Bible says. You haven't got a clue. Peter thought he was pretty good. Let's go to John 13:36. Well, if you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
John 13:36. Peter did not have a clue as to what he was like. John 13:36. And Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake." He is bragging, unbelievable. "Lord, I can go anywhere with you. I lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow until you've denied me three times." Peter didn't have a clue. He had no clue. He had been with Jesus all this time. And he never had a clue. What followed? They captured Jesus. They arrested him. They beat him up. They took him various places. And Peter was following along behind in the distance, so nobody knew who he was. The one who was going to lay his life down for Jesus. He was hiding in the shadows. And somebody come up to him and said, oh, you were with him. Oh, no, I don't know him. Who are you talking about? 3 times. And the cock crowed. And just like in the movie, The Passion, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And this strong, arrogant fisherman, successful in business, went to church every Sunday, knew God, went out into the darkness, fell on his face, and wept before God. He didn't have a clue. And I'm here to tell you, we don't either. God allows things to happen to show us what we're really like. And he doesn't, not to be mean, but because he wants to help us get ready to rule and reign with him. And I'm telling you, before you're going to get ready, you're going to find out how weak you are. You're going to play for the Nuggets, you got to be kidding. You got to run up and down the court, run up and down the court, run up and down the court, hit the hoop and run up and down the court. You got to do it for an hour. You got to nonstop. You got people beating on you, and you have to keep going and keep playing and keep running. And you're not ready. Oh, I know you were a star back in college and high school, but this is a professional sports. You're not ready. And I'm here to tell you that most of us are not ready for the kingdom of God. I'm including myself. Oh, we had another one. His name was King David, and he had killed Goliath. I mean, his name, his fat head was on the walls of every house in Israel. King David the Conqueror. And he would lead his troops to battle, and he'd win every time. He conquered people that no king had conquered before his time. And one day when he was supposed to be out with the troops, he was at home and he knew exactly what time Bathsheba would be taking a bath on the roof of her house that he could see from the palace. And he called for her because he was the king. If the king called, you came. And she came. And they slept together. Bad enough. Then he had her husband killed on the battlefield on purpose so he could marry her. The great king that killed Goliath, that called on the name of Jesus, that was the everything to the people, and God was with him, and he didn't have a clue what was in his heart. Didn't have a clue. For a year he tried to cover it up. And finally the prophet came. I'm going to tell you, if you love God, and you really do, there's going to be a prophet come. Oh, there'll be a prophet come. And that prophet stuck his bony finger in the king's face, and he said, you're the one. And I'm here to tell you that's what God does in your life if you let Him. Most people don't want to get close to God because sometimes they know what's in their heart somewhat. And so they don't want to get too close. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm going to tell you the great prophet, Isaiah. I'm just getting started. We'll probably be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Prepare. Call McDonald's to deliver. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. This is the great prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And He stood around Him, the seraphim had 6 wings, and 2 He covered His face, and 2 covered their feet, and 2 they did fly. One cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And I'm here to tell you, God is so holy. That everything is not holiness just burns and disappears from the sight of God. Are we ready for heaven? It says, the posts of the doors moved at the voice who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, I'm undone. It's like I was all packaged and tied up like a package under the Christmas tree, and somebody pulled the strings and took the paper off, and I was naked before God. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Are you ready for heaven? Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth, and lo, it has touched my lips, and my iniquity is taken away, and the sin was purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You see, he didn't hear the voice of the Lord until he said, woe is me, I'm undone. And allowed everything that the cross stood for to cleanse him now. Then he heard God. You're not going to hear God in any way that's going to be meaningful to you until you totally surrender your life to Him, every secret, dark place in your life. And He'll take the coals from the altar, and I'm going to tell you what altar that is. That's the altar where the lambs were sacrificed and the blood was shed. And that's not just for salvation, it's for sanctification, to prepare us for the kingdom of God. It's a continual process that God has to put the coals from the altar. He has to keep going to the altar and putting the coals on us in various places, from our tongue to our heart to our mind. He is woeing me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, he laid it on my mouth, and lo, it touched my lips, and my iniquity was taken away, and I heard the voice of God, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And God said, Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. I'm here to tell you, it's better not to be successful in the Christian life than to be successful and miss what God wants for you in His kingdom. Are you listening to me? I want to say it again. It's better to not be successful in the Christian life and allow God to prepare you for the kingdom of God that's coming than be successful and miss it when you get there. Probably the best thing God ever did for me was not give me 10,000 people to preach to. That would have been a big mistake. If I hadn't cleansed the inside, all those 10,000 would just see the outside. And how could I teach them the way to God? God will only speak to you, and you'll only hear where you're at in the Christian life. He can't give you more until you surrender more. He can't do it. It's against the law of the kingdom of God. And all the things we thought and all the things that we said and all the things that we did in darkness have to come to the light. One of the best things I ever did, I went to a conference one time. This is after I was saved. And I've said this before, but they said, get a sheet of paper, more if you need it, and write down every sin you can remember you ever committed. And I thought, just like everybody else there, why would I do that? God paid for it. I'm going to tell you, the residue of that was still in my life. And I had to acknowledge before God that I needed Him. We had to write this down, and then we had to go into our own little corner and confess these things to God. And we had to make restitution if necessary. And I had to write a letter to a business owner that I had owed money to and never paid him. I had to make restitution. And I had to bring that on. I had to look at it on the paper, and I had to see myself in the mirror of the commandments of God to say, God, I'm undone. And I need you to train me and get me ready for the kingdom of God. Old men have their ways. Join this thing, do that thing. But you'll never get there until you acknowledge, as God shows you, what's on the inside of you and me. The best thing for a new Christian to do is go hide and stay in the Bible for about a year. Most of us, after we were saved, probably a lot of us were ashamed to say we were Christians. And I want to close with this because I'm about half done. So if you want to get some more of this wonderful uplifting message next time, it'll be next Sunday. I'm just going to tell you this. The only one that understands you is God Himself. That's what the Bible says. You try to understand yourself, you're going to mess up. Because you can't even see into your own heart, to your own mind, into your own being. I'm going to tell you something. The great revival is coming in the midst of the darkness of this world, but it's only going to come as Christians get cleaned up and ready for the kingdom of God. Then He will allow other people to come because He doesn't want us to mess them up. Let's stand before the Lord.